Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Chedrick with you live at Sharky's in Latrobe. Stop in and cool down with an ice cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schley Deck, and New Flow Men's Health. Another hour here, a little less than an hour here left with us at Sharky's in Latrobe, which it's been a very pleasant evening. Some very good wings that we have had, a very good workspace that we have had here. I have T-Bird with me. I have Gabe with me, making sure that we stay on the air. Gorgeous Charlie Borges back behind the glass in Green Tree. And now we are joined on the fan hotline, again, live and in person, by our guy Nick Farabaugh, covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, it was a hot one out there today. I attended as a fan, probably the first time in a good decade that I attended as a fan. I was there as part of the PM team a couple of seasons ago, but it was nowhere near as hot as it was today. Like, I feel like I heard one of the guys over there say, which, you know, Sharky's is like the main watering hole for Steelers media, so there's a plethora of guys over there. I feel like I heard one of them say it was one of the hottest days in Steelers training camp history.
It didn't feel like it to me. I'll tell you what felt like it. Saturday. That was brutal. It rained in the morning. All the water just went to the atmosphere, and it felt like 104 on that field. I mean, you stepped outside, and you were just pouring it. Today I was pouring it, but not pouring it. On Saturday, you were pouring it. Put that in italics. That's what it was like. So it was hot out there. But I feel like it's been generally very hot this summer out in Latrobe. Tomorrow seems like it's actually going to be cooler. It's only going to be about 80 degrees. It's not going to be anything crazy. So I actually think it's going to end up being pretty modest tomorrow. And they moved it up 10 o'clock, so not super hot today. But today, man, these heated days really test your will. It's training camp for reporters, too, because we got to deal with all the heat.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be nice when you guys hear that practice gets moved up tomorrow. I think the only thing that's a downer for you guys is that you can't stay as late here at Sharky's unless you want to have a really quick turnaround in the morning. But morning practices, as I think anybody who's ever played or covered football would certainly prefer, like a nice 10 a.m. start opposed to 2 p.m.
Well, last year they practiced mostly at 10:30, and I thought that was great. I love the workflow. Practicing at 1:55, man, it's just tough. It bleeds your clock dry. You have these weird gaps in your schedule. You work until dinner time, so it's not cohesive. Last year it was fun. You know, I went, covered practice. I got my stuff in. Us reporters coordinated, you know, well, we're going to go to dinner here. We're going to go do this, and then we're going to come to Sharky's. It was fun. It was laid back. This year it's like I'm on the go. And, man, you are on the go on these 1:55 days. It's a little different. And I talk with a lot of other people on other beats, and they're like, oh, we practice at 8 a.m. And I'm like, well, that's a little early for me, but I can understand it. But the 1:55 time is like they're flabbergasted. Like, I can't believe they practice. Like, I'm home by then.
Man, 8 a.m.
Yep. The Dolphins practice at 8 a.m. Would you believe it?
I guess their heat's a little bit different, though,
yes,
than what we're talking. Like, it's probably probably close to what it was today, mm-hmm, at 8 a.m. in Miami.
Yes. It's very hot.
So imagine what it is at 2 p.m.
Correct. So different climates, obviously, call for different things. But when you're in this climate, even the Ravens, you know, the Ravens practice, I think, at like 10 o'clock. So it's their usual practice time. But the Steelers are one of those teams, man, that does the late afternoon stuff. It's a Mike T thing. He wants them exhausted. He wants them feeling it, even though in December they're going to be playing in 20 degrees.
Yeah, he wants them, a little bit miserable. I know, like, from his first camp, there's always that clip that goes around. Let's see how miserable we can get today. You know, he's wearing his all black, like, sweatsuit. Although I heard he was in shorts today.
Yes, he was. He was in shorts on Saturday, too. Sometimes it even gets too hot for Mike, which tells you how hot it is. I swear Mike either doesn't sweat or he sheds all of his weight through the sweating. It's like, you know, Debo, when you see him working out,
yep,
sweats like that. I wonder
the
all-gray if Mike,
sweatsuit.
Yep. I wonder if Mike, like, subscribes to that idea. You know, I got to give it to the Steelers coaching staff. Last year, I felt like they were all in sweats. This year, a lot of them are in shorts and a hoodie. We're making progress with conscious clothing for the Steelers coaching staff.
There I am kind of a weirdo like that, though, when I, like, will go out for a run or if, like, I go, like, get on the treadmill. Like, I'm the guy who I would go with, like, the old, like, high school wrestling method. Even though I never wrestled in high school, I just know guys who did. Where I throw, like, the garbage bag on so it, like, really gets me going. I throw a hoodie over that, and then I'm just, like, drenched no matter what I do. So I guess I can kind of see where they're coming from. They're trying to be as miserable as some of the players, I guess. But we get the first day in pads. Nick, it was a little bit delayed because we didn't get that yesterday. Your big takeaways, your big observations from the first day of the pads clapping a little bit.
Well, the defense dominated today. I don't think you can deny that. The physicality from the linebacker unit specifically was popping. Mark Robinson, Peyton Wilson, and Malik Harrison came with, like, some business to prove today. I don't know what they put in their Wheaties this morning, Donnie, but they put something in there because they were coming after it. The defensive line kind of was subdued compared to them. Even the secondary, I mean, Joey Porter Jr., I think, was one of the takeaways I had today. I thought there was no better player on the football field today than Joey Porter Jr. I mean, he was so good. He made three stops in the first team run. He had two PBUs. He was locked down in the wide receiver corner drills. That guy had a show out day, and he's just stacked good days. You know, it feels like this might be the turning point for young Peasy. So I think that's really good. I also thought, you know, Troy Faltanu was the other big takeaway I had from today, Donnie. I think Troy Faltanu is going to be legit. I believed in him since they drafted him, but since before they drafted him. I loved him coming out of Washington. And, you know, you can see he's still not fully comfortable with the knee. There's still some questions for him about, can I anchor down? Can I move like this? He's still figuring it out because it was his first day in pads. But he cleared out a few sides, that right side. He cleared out a few for some big runs. Jaylen Warren had a really nice zone run behind him. And then I went over and watched O-line, D-line one-on-ones. He stonewalled T.J. Watt twice in a row. He did that a few times last year, too, but he did it again today. And that's not because TJ is washed. It's because Troy Faltanu, I think, is really legit. So I think the Steelers have themselves a really good tackle. But, yeah, man, in general, really energetic practice. It's always fun, I think, the first padded day. Backs on backers was as intense as you would think it was, and the linebackers dominated that drill, which is why I said I think the linebackers had something to prove. There were a few – I'll say this. There were a few running backs that ended up full snowman on their back, just pulverized by a bull rush. And Caleb Johnson – had a welcome to the NFL moment three times against Malik Harrison. The first time he beat him with speed. The second time he just ran right through his chest. Two straight bull rushes. Even after Caleb called him out for a third one, he did went back to the same move and just outmanned him. So a lot of good takeaways from today, but the takeaway is this defense, man, they got an edge to them. And that linebacker unit had been kind of the quiet unit so far, but they made their voices loud and clear today with their pads.
Brian Batko, I had him on in the 7 o'clock hour, and he said that the crowd today, it felt like a Saturday afternoon camp crowd. I mean, the Pat McAfee effect was certainly happening, you know, with his show going on from camp, but it really was. I mean, I got there around the time that practice started, and it was packed. I mean, there were thousands of people.
It was. It was one of the most packed weekday practices I can ever remember. And you felt it. You know, you heard the cheers. I remember I was watching Backs on Backers, and you can see the receiver DB drills. And every time something would happen, you just heard the roar of the crowd. And it was louder than usual. I think you heard a lot more chirping than usual from the stands, too. I love weekend practices because, you know, the fans kind of get rowdy and get into it. I remember I drove up earlier today around 9:45, and I was just passing by the campus. And, you know, already was it backed up behind. And that's usually a weekend thing, but not on Wednesday afternoon. Even for first padded day, you know, yesterday it wasn't going to be like this. The McAfee effect definitely was there. And in general, with the pads popping this day for the first time, the energy was just risen kind of. And the players responded and fed off that. So I love it. It's one of the – this is why I say the Steelers should never leave St. Vincent. It's one of the unique – training camp atmospheres. It honestly kind of, in some ways, if you've ever been to a small, you know, D2 football game or just a really intimate, smaller college game, that's what it feels like to me every time I'm out here.
Yeah, I went on a tangent about that last week, why I don't think they should ever leave here. You know, it's not just that I'm from out this way because I grew up like 10 miles from, you know, where we're sitting right now. Like, maybe that plays a small part. Maybe I'm a little bit biased when I bring that into the equation. But they're only one of, I think, like three or four teams anymore that has this small school type feel. And it is just different. Like, you get people out here, you get thousands of people. You just don't get that same feeling if they would hold this, you know, at Acrisure Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I covered their Acrisure Stadium camp in 21. It didn't feel the same. Not that it wasn't fun. You're still watching football, but it's different when you don't have fans there. And it's different when you don't have fans in what is essentially set up as an amphitheater around the field. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really cool, you know. And you think of some of the other teams that do these destination camps. And, you know, it's the Cowboys in California, which is just an odd fit. Same thing with the Saints in California. You know, the Bills in St. John Fisher's is probably the best comp for this. Mm-hmm. Packers as well up in Wisconsin. So a few teams still do it, but the Steelers have done this since 1966. It's a tradition-filled thing. It's just so great to kind of see it. And you see that, you know, it's not just people from Latrobe that come here or people from Pittsburgh. You know, I met a guy yesterday who came all the way from Hawaii. I met a guy last year who came all the way from Mexico City. Like, there's guys from Ireland. Like, it's wild how far they come. All 50 states, multiple countries, just to come to this small town, this campus. It's pretty wild, and I think that's unique.
And you're going to see another huge crowd, maybe not tomorrow, but Friday night. You have the Friday Night Lights practice. That's always really cool. It's at Latrobe Memorial Stadium, so the players will bus over. You guys bus over there as well. And again, thousands of fans. I mean, that, I would think, you know, in some ways, that might be one of the cooler nights that, you know, you get to cover over the course of a year, and it's just a practice.
It's awesome. Friday Night Lights is my favorite practice of the year because it does truly feel like you are back in a high school stadium. It feels like you are back playing on the football field. It's kind of cool. Us reporters walk in the same way the coaches and the players do. We take the same buses. So we walk in right behind them. So we got the line, the cheerleaders all behind us. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the celebrations for us. So it's a little fun to do that. I remember last year, you know, I the Isaac Seumalo jokes were coming with me. And I just and people, it was at the height of them. And I just heard someone from behind me go, "Hey, Oos." And I was like, come on, dude. It was like a
joke. Give one of these, tribal chief.
I acknowledge them. It was funny. But Friday Night Lights is so fun because not only is it their most intense practice, it truly is their most intense practice. It's like a scrimmage, essentially. They have more team periods. They open up the playbook in ways they don't in any other practice. It's like, it is truly like a scrimmage. It's an inter-squad scrimmage that they put on. And you learn so much about the team. And the fans getting to, you know, interact in what I think is just a lost kind of way of interaction. We don't see players and fans interact like they do in that setting much anymore. So I truly do appreciate Friday Night Lights for what it is.
You said Joey Porter Jr., one of the shining stars from today's practice. Do you think he's already seeing the benefits of being around guys like Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey?
I mean, this guy has had about some of the best mentors he could have. Not just those guys you named, but Patrick Peterson on top of that. I mean, he has learned just about everything he could have learned overall from these guys. And so I do think he's seeing that. I think he just has a surge of confidence too, Donnie. I really do. I think there's some confidence brewing there from what he has kind of learned from these guys, from who is around him. He's feeding off the energy. I mean, Ramsey's come on and been a spark plug to the defense, and I truly do feel like he has been a similar kind of way of feeding off that. And this guy just keeps making plays. He hasn't had a pick yet, but he's come close a few times. Today he had a few run stuffs. He's just been physical. He's been stifling. There's been a lot. And this reminds me a lot of what I saw in Joey's rookie year, which was a motivated young player who wanted to showcase himself. And so I think we're seeing that again. And, you know, I haven't really seen him holding a lot. I think that's another thing. You know, there is a cognizant play kind of to his play now. It seems like he's more patient. He's not as just throw everything at the wall and see what I can use. So I think there's a potential here that we're seeing Joey Porter Jr. go from promising young player with flaws to to maybe really good player that's a cornerstone piece that they're extending next offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say he's in that really big year for him. Like, you go into year three, and it's like, all right, you have to step up here a bit. Now, he was picked 32nd overall, but, you know, if you remember and you're keeping score at home, technically not a first-round pick, so no fifth-year option there. But still, that year three is always, like, the big year for these guys. It's either like the you-know-what or get-off-the-pot type year where you can, you know, possibly latch on and save the career with another team, or you can stick around where you're at because you're playing some really good football.
Yeah, and listen, it's not just for him. It's for, you know, Benton, and obviously Broderick Jones. But Joey Porter Jr. is, I think, the most fascinating of any of these guys that we're talking about, just because the short-term solutions that are on this roster corner. I mean, how much longer is Jalen Ramsey going to be here? We'll see. Slay's probably a one-year stopgap. And so if they have Joey Porter Jr. to be the cornerstone cornerback, they have so much money to hand out next year. I mean, they can easily extend all of these guys if they want to. And so they need to they need Joey Porter Jr. to prove he can be that $20-plus million-per-year corner that he could be, because he's so unique. I mean, he has this great length. He has this great physical profile where he should probably be a linebacker, and he somehow just isn't. And he's fluid, and so I just need that consistency from him. And so far, it's just been consistent. I mean, every single day has looked the same. I think that's really promising for Joey. He hasn't really had a camp where everything looked like this. So hopefully it continues that way and there's not too many bumps in the road. Because if he builds consistency and I think doesn't get in his head sometimes when those penalties just snowball on him, we could be seeing a really good player here.
You think those three, Porter, Slay, Ramsey, they'll be on the field like 99% of the time?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of the time. I mean, listen, sometimes I think Slay's going to come off the field. I think that's something. He's 34, going to be 35. So I don't think they want to overuse Slay. So I do think that's where Ramsey's outside versatility comes in, is you can throw him outside. But I do think, you know, even in base, I think we're going to see Ramsey pop up to safety. Or really what he's going to be playing is almost a pseudo-nickel role, where it's kind of base but not necessarily base. It's kind of an interesting way they use it. So I do think we're going to see them on the field a lot. I don't see how you take Jalen Ramsey off the football field, literally ever. He is a do-it-all player that makes everything lock into motion. And I do think that when we talk about Joey Porter Jr., Slay, and Ramsey, that's like the core that says, all right, we'll play man-to-man on you, and then we could send the house, and we could start to blitz and do different looks and do these different things that the Steelers wanted to do. Last year, I mean, it was so apparent to me that they just didn't trust the secondary. I mean, Cam Sutton could not run last year. They didn't trust Beanie Bishop to do his job, and that, I think, was a big issue for them. This year, I think they have full trust in these guys. I think they're very excited about it. I think we're going to see a more diverse defense. We're going to see a defense schematically that probably beckons back to 2019-2020. And that was obviously an exciting era of Steelers defense.
And it seems like, at least so far in camp, I mean, Brian said great things. You know, Mark Cabali, who's still around here, has said great things. Like, Ramsey has not lost a step. Like, he looks phenomenal.
He looks great. He's the best player on the defense right now. Like, that's what he's looked like. And so, you know, Cam hasn't done a ton, and TJ's only done minimal stuff. But, I mean, when he is out there, he is like a ball magnet. They test him, and he gets a pick, a PBU. Today, I thought it was a little, you know, interesting. We haven't really seen him beat much in team drills, but Calvin kind of got him twice today. I thought that was kind of good. He's, like, elevating the competitiveness, too, from the wide receiver side of things. Like, when DK and Calvin and Roman and those guys look at him, they want to beat him. And, yeah, Jalen Ramsey's been exceptional. He doesn't look like a guy that looks washed at all to me. If he is washed, I'll say this, if he has lost a step, he is still an exceptional athlete. He might have just gone from all-time great athlete to just general exceptional athlete. That's completely possible, because we're talking about that type of player.
Yeah.
He's a gold jacket guy. I don't know, did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said about him today?
I'm trying to remember, because we played Rodgers earlier.
So Rodgers said that he thinks he could be Charles Woodson.
Oh, and, yes, yes.
And, you know, I don't think that's a bad
call. Like, kind of changing up your game a little bit, yeah.
Charles Woodson was great until the end, man. He retired as a great player. I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Ramsey does the same.
The reviews have been rave for him, which is exciting because that trade happens. I mean, yeah, Ramsey objectively had a good season last year. People just think, well, he's not at his peak anymore. But, I mean, remember how high that peak was. He was the best corner in football, yep. I thought. So now they add this to their defense, and he's still playing at a pretty good level.
I mean, I just don't think people comprehended that when they acquired him. We're not talking about a normal corner here. Like, we're talking about a guy that is a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. If he retired today, he is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, he was the best cornerback of his generation. And now he's going to make the switch. He's going to play nickel. He's going to play some safety. There are a few guys in this league, in the history of this league, that can do that, that can play outside nickel and safety. I think he's one of them. He is that type of player, and he changes the complexity of this defense. I'll tell you what, you know, I remember, you know, a few years ago people saying the one guy the Steelers can never afford to lose is Minka because of what he does. And, mm-hmm. and back in 2020 and 2019, it was probably true because Minka was just this do-it-all versatile piece that they could use. They could man him in the slot. They could put him at free safety. They could use him in different ways. The Steelers can't afford to lose Jalen Ramsey ever. And luckily for them, he's been a very durable player over his career. And he's just such a valuable kind of guy that condenses so many pieces of a defense into one player because of his football IQ and athleticism. And so, yeah, he's looked fantastic. You watched the Miami tape last year. He played a lot of outside corner. I think Miami kind of needed him to. He can do it, but I think he's better off right now. Slot, safety, outside, mixing all three in and just saying, okay, where do we need you? Because the great thing about Jalen Ramsey, Donnie, is if I need him to take on Isaiah Likely, for example, I can. But if I need him to go after Zay Flowers, I can also do that. Or if I need him to fit the run and blitz off the edge and try to help me in my run fits against Derrick Henry, I can do that. It depends on what you need in your game plan. This guy is the supercharged weapon of what do I need this week? And I think that's what gives the Steelers a lot of confidence in their defense.
Live at Sharky's in Latrobe with Miller Lite. Enjoy Miller Lite happy hour specials every weekday from 4 to 6. Wing specials on Mondays and Tuesdays. And check out the Latrobe Meadows and Latrobe Coffee now open right behind Sharky's here in Latrobe. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan for a little bit longer tonight. Nick Farabaugh is with us live and in person. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, the early practice tomorrow. We know Friday Night Lights on Friday. Now, when they get to that practice, who are the, let's say, top 3 to 5 guys you're looking forward to in that setting?
In that setting, okay. Well, I love watching Patrick Queen in that setting, but that means I'm watching Caleb Johnson. You know what I mean? I just want to see Caleb Johnson because he's a competitor. Like, I can tell there's a fire to Caleb Johnson. I think that setting brings out fire. So I'm interested to see Caleb Johnson. I really want to see Ramsey, man. I really do. He jaws back and forth on that practice field. In that setting, I think he's going to be really off the rails. So I'm excited to see Jalen Ramsey out there. Derek Harmon is someone else. He's like a teddy bear off the field. Harmon's a great guy. Nice to talk to. When he gets on the field, there's like a different switch there with Derek Harmon. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Listen, I'm very interested to see kind of Juan Thornhill. That's got a surprise guy, I'll tell you. And the reason I say it is, I don't know if people realize how chirpy Juan Thornhill is, but, like, he's very mouthy. He chirps at the guys on offense. He goes after them. He lets them know when they're healing it. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. And then the last guy I'm just really interested in seeing that is Roman Wilson. And I'm interested to see Roman Wilson every day because I think he's just this kind of fascinating player that we won't really know what he is. And the Steelers are trying to find that out themselves. So those are 5 guys I'm really excited to see in that setting, especially because of the physicality that's going to be showcased there.
I was told that Roman Wilson is a real lightning rod player. Like, you put anything out there about Roman Wilson and you have people loving it, you have people just despising it. It's just coming at you from all directions. Any sort of Roman Wilson content.
Yes, you get the Ohio State fans that hate him. You get the... There's a decent portion I found out of Michigan fans that root for the Steelers. I did not know this before Roman Wilson came into this organization. So there's a lot that goes on there, and he is a lightning rod player, man. And the thing is, he hasn't done anything. He's played 5 snaps. Like, how do you know if he's good or bad? I mean, it's really hard. And, like, the Steelers don't know if he's good or bad. I mean, listen, I literally talked with Zach Azzani today, and like he admitted straight up to me, he's like, we're just rolling the ball out there, and we're seeing what's going on with him. Like, we don't know what we have. We might have the answer to our wide receiver questions. We might not. You know, we might have to go get a guy. Like, there's definitely that thought, but the Steelers are giving him a chance to prove what he is. And so we'll see how he is, man. But he's already got this, like, weird, like, really good, he's really bad dichotomy to him. And the man hasn't even had a full training camp. I mean, he practiced 5 times last year in training camp before he suffered a high ankle sprain. He practiced probably in total less than 25 times in the season. No chance that anyone knows what he actually is right now.
Yeah, and then with some guys like him, you miss that moving train, and that's that, which seemed to be his whole issue last season. Does it seem like Calvin Johnson, Jesus, if they had him, I don't think they'd have any wide receiver issues. Calvin Austin, not the same player as Calvin Johnson, of course. Does it seem like Calvin Austin has the inside track on being the second guy?
Yeah, I would say so. Just in terms of pure usage, I think he fits into their slot role. I think in 12 personnel, they like the way he stretches the field. He's a feisty dude too, so like he'll scrap with guys in terms of the blocking side of things. Even though he's obviously small, so he's only so effective. But I also just think he's the second best wide receiver on the team. I think he's best route runner on the team probably. He can win outside even with his size. He's just more. He's a more dynamic player than anyone else they have in that room, sans DK. And so, yeah, I think he is the wide receiver, too. I mean, listen, Zach Azzani literally named him the wide receiver, too, at minicamp. Like, I don't forget that. And there's a reason he did. It's because he is the wide receiver, too. This battle's for, like, wide receiver three, who can be your blocking special, who can be your Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson's, the competition. Calvin's going to play a lot, though.
Robert Woods, he's kind of that veteran slash elder statesman that they bring in, who's sort of like the Allen Robinson slash Van Jefferson. Does he look better than those guys did, at least at this stage in camp?
Not really. he hasn't really done anything. He did get in there and block today, but I knew that was in his profile anyways. He doesn't create any separation whatsoever anymore. He just doesn't. There's not a lot of juice there in terms of how he gets off the line and runs his routes. He made like 2 catches today, which is nice to see. He catches everything thrown his way. I will say that. He makes tough grabs. He's got great hands. He's tough. He's a better blocker than either Robinson or Jefferson were, which is also nice to know. Kind of has experience in the scheme just because he played with Sean McVay's offense for so long. But, yeah, there's not a lot there right now. He was a wide receiver 4 or 5 type in Houston last year that could block. And I think that's what he is. I think that's what he is at this point in his career. That's the way he should be with the Steelers. If Roman Wilson's not the answer to your wide receiver 3 question, it's time to go look outside the organization. Even if the options aren't that attractive, I think they need somebody there.
Do you wonder why there are guys out there like Keenan Allen, like Amari Cooper, among others, that have not found homes?
Yeah, I mean, when you're a veteran like that, how much do you really need training camp? You know, I think that's the thing. You know, those guys don't need a lot of training camp. They can fly in and get going. And so if I were them, I mean, I would wait for the most, you know, clear picture of wide receiver rooms I can get. Because who knows, sometimes injuries happen and a really good team needs a receiver and all of a sudden you're on that. And, I mean, if you're Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper, I think at that point in my career I've gotten a lot of money. I've been paid a lot. It's time to ring chase. Like, I want to go to a contender. So I think that's part of what they're looking at too. So, you know, some teams might offer more money if an injury happens or if something kind of happens with Gabe Davis too. You know, I think that's a knee issue with him. I think it's his knee that he got surgery on, so that's why I think he's out there. But for Allen and Cooper, they don't really need training camp, so they'll sign probably closer to the season and they'll probably be a decent impact wide receiver. Not a great player, but a solid enough player. And we'll see. I think the Steelers are kind of monitoring that market still. I think they're saying, hey, do we need somebody? And we will see if we do based on how Roman Wilson, Robert Woods, everyone else in that room plays.
I know that Keenan Allen, he put a video out there, either TikTok or Twitter. I don't know which one, but do you think it was premature when he said, like, no, I'm not going to go to Pittsburgh? I mean, he's still a really solid player, even in his mid-30s.
He's a solid player, and the weird thing about him is he just doesn't fit what they need, right? They need an outside guy that can block. He's just a slot. And it's kind of funny with Keenan Allen, because last year it looked like he was running with cement blocks attached to his feet, and he still would get separation.
Right, like it's so weird.
It's wild. It's like, have you ever watched the videos of old man Jerry Rice and just seeing him routing people
yes.
up while he runs like a 4.9? It's like crazy. And I thought, I was like, Keenan Allen is like routing guys up, running a 5.5 flat now, and there's just no juice in Keenan Allen's game anymore. And he just catches everything. He's somehow open on these plays. Good for him. He doesn't really fit what the Steelers need, so I think that's something to consider too. I think they're far likelier to sign Davis or Amari Cooper. But, hey, listen, I think anything can happen. And I do think, you know, Keenan Allen said that, but let's be real. The Steelers offered him enough money and said, hey, you're the starting slot receiver. We're going to give you a chance. I have a hard time thinking he turned it down.
How have the tight end sort of infiltrated into the – like receiver battle, because when the trade got made with Miami and Jonnu Smith came over along with Jalen Ramsey, the very quick breakdown on that was, well, Jonnu Smith will be wide receiver too.
I mean, yes and no, he's wide receiver too. Like, he's going to be weapon two. Him and Freiermuth are going to be like weapon 2-3. Because they're going to play so much 12 and 13 personnel, Donnie, here's the crazy thing. They had a package today where they had all four tight ends, Jonnu, Darnell, Pat, and Connor Hayward on the field together. 0-4 personnel, I guess is what you would call that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was like, wow. And they've had, you know, unbalanced sets. And Jonnu's been on the field a lot. And he's kind of this move tight end that they really like to use. He is like a flex that receiver. When you play in 12 personnel with Jonnu, it's not necessarily like 12 personnel. Like, if you're playing 12 personnel with Jonnu and Pat, it's not traditional 12. When you're playing 13, it's not traditional 13. Jonnu is a big receiver. The thing about Jonnu is, though, if you play him in base, the linebacker is not fast enough to cover him. And if you play him in nickel, the slot is not good enough to cover him. Jonnu can beat those guys. And so that's the cool thing about Jonnu, is he's kind of a mismatch whatever way they react to your bigger packages. So certainly that's been a big part of it, and he's going to be a huge part of it. He's not wide receiver two, though, because he doesn't bring the blocking prowess they need. Can he block safeties every now and then? Sure, he can do that. But what I think they need to do, and this is why I've been in favor recently of signing Gabe Davis. I've said this. I'm not a big Gabe Davis fan. I think he has a lot of issues in his game. But he is a big dude that blocks his behind off. If you were talking about physically imposing 12 personnel and 13 personnel, you get that guy in there and you block your behinds off, you run the football, and then you hit him over the top with DK and Gabe Davis. Like, it makes sense. And then Jonnu is there as an athletic move guy who can block safeties and do that dance. So that's why I'm a big fan of the Gabe Davis move if they made it, because he fits what they need, even if he's not going to be someone that's like, wow, you fixed your room. There's a vision there, and it's a cohesive vision of how you run the football, and then you can play the passing game off that.
It seems like the chemistry early on between Aaron Rodgers and the pass catchers hasn't quite been there, but that doesn't feel like something to worry about too much this early on.
I mean, this time last week they were reporting camp, so it's definitely not something to worry about. And listen, there definitely has been issues. I mean, DK today on what was a slant route, didn't run it flat enough, ball clanged off his hands. Jonnu ran it too far, ball clanged off his hands. Roman Wilson and Aaron Rodgers have negative chemistry. I mean, legitimately, they're never on the same page. They have legitimately, even in, like, just on-air routes, been off on each other. Like, there's just things that they have to go through there. I think the guy Aaron Rodgers, unironically, has the best connection with right now is Darnell. He has a great connection with Darnell already. But they'll figure each other out, I think. That'll be a big thing. And Aaron is so detailed in, like, what he wants to do. It's going to take time for these guys to get used to it. So it's definitely going to be something to watch, but no panic, obviously, six practices in. If this stuff's happening, you know, 2 days before they take the field at MetLife Stadium, feel free to panic, but I don't think it's going to.
So you bring up Darnell Washington there. We talked about how Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith will clearly be the top two tight ends. Do you think there will be any sort of push to work Washington into the pass game a little bit more than what they have so far? Because, yeah, maybe he's not some great down-the-field weapon, but he certainly has a place in the pass game. And he can turn like a a route that's just out in the flat into a 15 to 20 yard gain by running some people over.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen him run routes that he's never run before in 6 days through camp. They're using him a lot more on the vertical plane, seams, posts, corners, things like that, which is how I think he should be used because he can rumble when he gets in the open field. They're still, you know, tossing it down to him on those flat routes and different things like that. But he's just had a really good connection with Aaron. And he looks really good. I mean, in seven shots, this guy continues to make a lot of plays. He's got sure hands. And he's going to be on the field a lot because I do think when we talk about Johnny and Muth on the field together in 12, it's just a little awkward in your run game and kind of how you scheme that up. So I think Darnell's naturally going to be on the field a lot more. And so, yeah, I think Darnell's going to be a big part of this. And you look at how Aaron Rodgers loves his tight ends. I mean, he loves Mercedes Lewis, for example. He loved JerMichael Finley.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that guy is going to be a big beneficiary of Aaron Rodgers. I truly believe that. He's going to be one of his guys.
Some of the rookies defensively, you brought up Derek Harmon. I feel like he has kind of flown under the radar a little bit because people have been loving Caleb Johnson. People are going crazy over Will Howard, even though he's a guy that got picked in round six. Derek Harmon's the guy the Steelers selected in the first round, and I don't know. I just feel like the hype on him isn't as high as maybe it would be in the past for a first-round pick, but this dude's going to start right away.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, I mean, they outright named him the starter in minicamp. That hasn't happened very often. It took Fautanu a long time to get in there. They started working him in there, you know, after week one. It took him a while. So it's fun to see how much they believe in Derek Harmon because he's really good. And his first four practices out here were incredible. I mean, he was everywhere in the backfield, which is why it's odd that he hasn't taken up more headlines because that guy was wrecking periods in, like, the early portions of this. He looks really good. I mean, he's the type of player they've needed in terms of what you saw on tape at Oregon. He's that explosive penetrator that can be a really solid high-floor player. While also having upside to be much more than that. So to get that defensive lineman like that late, because it was just such a deep class that they got pushed down the board a little bit, it's a privilege for the Steelers to have that. So, yeah, I think Harmon is a really good player, man, and I'm interested to see how he continues to go. First day in pads, I thought he was pretty solid too.
What do you make of Jack Sawyer so far? That's another pretty big dude.
I mean, I think I was on your show after they picked him telling you I didn't think it was a very good pick, and he's been pretty good. Like, you know, some of the pass rushes he's thrown out there have been pretty effective, been very consistent. He's a hot motor guy, I'll tell you that. He's got effort, man. He plays with his hair on fire. Today, a little quieter, but still was in on run fits. I think that's really going to be his main role is just, can you stack up that edge, hold that edge, and be a really good run defender for us so we don't have to overexpose Nick Herbig and just let Nick Herbig be the pass-rushing dynamo he is. But so far, honestly, there's been a little bit more pass rush juice than I thought. I'm interested to see how that translates into more days with them in the pads and into the preseason games. But so far, I thought he's had a pretty good camp.
What do you project, I guess, so far, only about a week in, like how much we see Sawyer and Herbig, at least as things stand right now? Because I think one of the points that we talked about once the Watt deal happened was that, hey, maybe less is more with Watt, yep. So he can be in the game in those big moments down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see them, you know, cut that back to, you know, 70%, somewhere around there. I think, you know, when you have players as good as Nick Herbig is, like, he needs to be on the field a lot more. He's too good. I mean, he just is. He's such a great pass rusher, and he affects the game in such big ways. And you know, Sawyer, I think, is going to play a good bit, too. I think the outside linebacker three is absolutely going to be Herbig. So, I mean, I think that they're going to dial it back a little bit. I think that's one of their kind of ideas this year is let's not bury TJ into the ground. He's getting a little older, and, you know, he's getting more off days. He's getting more off reps than he has in the past. So there definitely is a conscious effort to it. So I do think we're going to see Nick Herbig more. I think we're going to see a good dose of Jack Sawyer every week. So it's going to be four deep. It's not going to be like, you know, your outside linebacker four with two reps. Like, I think Sawyer's going to play a healthy 10 probably a game, and Herbig might play double that even on some days because – if Herbie gets hot, you don't want him off the field. When he gets hot, man, I mean, he can get sacks in bunches. He's that type of player.
The Will Howard expectation almost feels a little bit unfair to him. I mean, round six, pick 185, and, you know, to no fault of his own, he's just showing up and throwing some passes, every day, but you know, you see the people every day, whether it's just, you know, some random, you know, Johnny on Twitter that thinks like this guy's the answer, he's the next Tom Brady, or, you know, even our own people that are maybe hyping the guy up a bit too much. Like, I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah, man. I think he, whenever we talk about him, about the expectations, he has like this look of disbelief on his face. Like, he can't believe it. That, you know, when he came on the field on Sunday and there were just cheers for him, he thought those cheers were for, like, somebody else. Like, he was like, dude, I thought DK did something, or I thought Caleb did something, or I thought Jalen did something. He's like, those are for me. I couldn't believe it. And so, yeah, he's got a lot of fans. The amount of, like, Ohio State Howard jerseys I've seen Steelers Howard jerseys, like, it's wild for a sixth-round pick. And the expectations aren't fair to him at all, because I think people, you know, take it as a slight when I say, like, I think he's going to be a really good backup for a long time. But, like, most sixth-round quarterbacks don't make it past, like, year two in the league.
Exactly.
If he's a decade-long backup, it's a hit. If he's a starter, it is, like, all-time great value. So, we'll see. I think it's going to be a really good pick. I love the pick when they made it. But, yeah, he's got too lofty expectations on him from some people. Let's calm down. You know, let's calm down on that. I like him, and he's having a solid camp, but, like, franchise quarterback, I mean, that's wild. And because you are a sixth-round pick, you know, I see a lot of people saying, well, you need to see what you have in him. No, you don't. Like, he's a sixth-round pick. Like, you don't need to see what you have in him necessarily. If things go off the rails, sure. But if they're good, they're good. You don't need to play him for just to play him. You know what I mean? It doesn't make much sense.
Nick Farabaugh covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, thanks for hopping on here a full hour with me to finish up the show, man. It was awesome.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, Donnie. It's always great, man. And this one in person. We did this last year.
Yeah, man.
I enjoy it again, man.